go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 117 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Collar is popped, doing that for effect. I don't know why. The B-Man, I come to you this evening in a somber mood. I'm not upset. I'm not flustered. I'm really not even somber. I don't even know why I said that. I had an altercation last week. This was a morning via text conversation. There's this babe. I use that term loosely here. I've never met her. I met her not on one of the dating apps. It was actually Instagram. Anyways, I really wasn't that interested in her. But I don't have any babes right now, so I was using her as my muse. I think she was doing the same to me. We were talking for a few days. She had went away for a concert festival somewhere. She came back like a week or two later. I don't know. I've never been to a festival. I don't know why it lasted 2 weeks. But anyways, after a couple of weeks, I hit her up. We started chatting a little bit. And when I say a little bit, it'd be like once a week or so, you know, for a 20-minute text spat. But I was using this babe loosely, as my muse. And one morning last week, she had told me she was going to be in the area where I live. Now, she lives in Connecticut. I'm not going to say where, but it was a further distance for me. But she had to come closer to me to get something done. I don't know, a doctor's appointment, something like that. Anyways, about 10 in the morning, she hits me up on Instagram going, morning. Now, I don't know, but I don't like that kind of, that banal text or morning, how's your day going, small talk, elevator talk. And I decided, I don't really care about this one, where it goes. So I'm going to have fun. To me, man, I'm going to be a bit cantankerous this morning. That morning, I was yet to have my morning coffee, 2 cups of it. And there I am at my desk working again, a loose term. I'm at my desk. I'm doing work, but I'm not working hard, doing enough to get my paycheck and not to have the boss all up on my ass, metaphorically speaking. So I'm there in my Lululemon joggers, beautiful pants, very comfortable, t-shirt, gray. Normally I wear a gray t-shirt. I don't really like stiff cotton, so 100%. Cotton. I don't fuck with it unless it's Egyptian cotton. So this is half, maybe 40% polyester. It's just, it's more comfortable. 40% polyester, 60% cotton. It feels good on my nipples. 100% cotton is rough on my nipples. Get a lot of shaping. So I have like 4 or 5 gray t-shirts that have a little bit of polyester percentage. They're just more comfortable on my body because I have sensitive skin. Anyway, there, I'm on my desk leaning back and I get that ping, Instagram, morning. One word, morning. I assume she meant good morning and not just saying, hey, it is morning. And there I am. And I just, I wasn't feeling it. Like, I knew she was in the area. I knew that she wanted me to do all the work. She said morning via DM, Instagram, and it all goes down to DMs. So she wanted me to bring the energy. And this baby, she does have energy. Like, yeah, she has energy. She had a great personality. But again, she gets a lot of plastic surgery, and I don't know what it is. Babes who get plastic surgery, it ain't going to work with the B-Man, because I am a comic, and I am going to tease you to your face. So if you're getting plastic surgery, then you're self-conscious about your appearance to the degree where you're not going to like Chad's like myself, John's like myself, poking fun at your imperfections, physical imperfections, that is. So I knew this was going nowhere. And I knew, and just the morning text, it irritated me. And I go, okay, I'm going to make this, let's have it. I'm going to have fun. So she goes, morning. My first response to this babe, and again, loosely babe, I go, what type of panties are you wearing right now? And she goes, excuse me, very quickly, via DM. I go, what type of panties do you have on right now, and what color are they? And then she hits me back with, oh, it's 10 in the morning. Like, I'm with a weird face emoji, like, I'm not getting into this type of conversation. Well, the B-man, I'm horny at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. And I instigated this conversation. So we're either going to have the type of conversation the B-man is instigating, or else we're not going to have a conversation at all. And I might have sent her a DM saying what I just said a bit more politely, but also a bit more, it was a bit more spiteful on my part. I will admit it was a bit more spiteful. There's a word I'm looking for. What's the word? I don't know the word. I don't know what the word is. But anyway, immediately she hit me up. I'm not having this conversation. So if you want to have it, you're not having it with me. Goodbye. And that was the last I've heard of her. I sent her a little kiss emoji, and I think I'm done with that. But hey, I was having fun, right? I was having this morning text. Fuck that. Let's have some interesting conversation. What type of racist are you? Right? What type of prejudices do you have? What kind of lingerie do you have in your drawer? Well, when was the last time you had spooge dripping down your inner thigh? Oh, let's have at it. Oh, morning? Who gives a fuck if it's morning? I haven't had my coffee yet. I want to get after it. Let's have a fun. Let's be combative in our DMs. That's what you got to do if you want to get with the B-man. If you ain't going to do it with me at 10 in the morning, next. Goodbye, not looking back, good riddance. You weren't meant for the B-man anyway. So let's move on. In next segment, we will talk about pimps. I have been thinking a lot about pimps and whether I can be one or not, but that's a bit of a tease for next segment. But this segment, we are going to get, I found this on the subreddit, What Should I Do? Long story short, my family thinks I'm gay, the gay flag, but I'm not. How does one convince them of that? Well, I've been in your situation, sir, and just for this post, I am going to make the assumption that you are a straight heterosexual male and that your family is accusing you of being gay. Now, I know what that's like because my family has accused me of being gay quite often. It's an annual thing. My oldest sister, Carrie, she does not accuse me of being gay, but she will slyly ask me, are you sure? Are you really sure you're not gay? And that question gets, she poses that question to me at least once a year. So pontificate on the question. It's not just, are you sure you're not gay? And then she'll go into it and be like, well, you would make a great gay man. For whatever reason, she think I'd be a great gay man. And she goes, I would love it if you're gay. So it's not a, you're gay. It's more of a, we'd love you more if you were gay than just a straight guy that never brings any babes home to see the family. There isn't a response you can give your family to convince them that you're not gay. Now, the obvious solution is to bring home a little honey, a little chick, a little babe on for Thanksgiving. But I'm assuming you, like myself, finding a person of the opposite sex to date or to tolerate your presence for elongated periods of time is how shall we say it? Unattainable? It's not feasible for you, because that is a solution. Bring a babe home for Thanksgiving. Clearly, you're not able to do that, nor am I. So I actually see actions speak louder than words. See, you could tell your family you ain't no homo. You ain't a homo. You're not a homosexual, but they don't believe you. So I've came up with 10 actions you can partake in that will prove to your family that you are a heterosexual male and you're not attracted to men. Now, I normally try to memorize all these, but it is a list of 10 things you can do to prove to your family that you are not a homosexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Shout out to Seinfeld. Number one, and we will do these from the most tame to the most extreme measures you can take to prove that you're not a homosexual to your family that is accusing you of being a homosexual. Number one, the least tame of all the responses to prove to your family that you're not gay is leave porn on your laptop and don't hide your search history. So when they come over to see the family, just have Pornhub or whatever smut site you use, have it open. Your family sees it and make sure it's like busty Latinas. That's what I look for. Amateur couples, lesbians, something clearly that a heterosexual man would get his nut to. Just leave that open. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me close that. Maybe that will make your family think that you're not gay. Two is very similar to the first one. Just follow a bunch of hood rat, floozy Instagram sluts that are on X and Instagram. And when you're scrolling through your phone, next time you see your family for an outing or you go to your parents' house, just make sure, like, scroll through your feed with all these floozies and hood rats and ladies in skimpy bikinis and, you know, hugging each other where their boobs are, you know, are protruding against each other. They have all that on, have all that smut on your feed, and just kind of scroll through your feed so that all your siblings can see it and go, oh, I thought you were gay, but suddenly you're following Lena Paul. Maybe you're not. Okay. Third thing you can do to prove to your family that you're not gay is just make very crude comments in the presence of your family. Similar to everything we're doing here at Verbal Graffiti. Just say shorten that, compact it, and in a very short, concise message. Similar to like last episode. Like, dude, I just hawked this dick loogie on this hood rat that I saw on Instagram last week. Or some hot lady that's in a commercial on TV when you're all watching football. Just go to your brother or your sister and go, oh, man, I would give 3 months' salary to sniff her Lululemon yoga pants, just to get a big whiff of those pants and right on the inner thigh, grundle, that area. I want a whiff of those yoga pants. And you'd be so crude and so off-putting that your friend's like, all right, we get it. You ain't no homosexual. Number four, get a bitch pregnant, right? Actions speak louder than words. You get a bitch pregnant, that is going to be proof to your family that you are not homosexual. Now, there is a caveat to this. Now, there are plenty of gay men who've gotten married and impregnated their bitch. So it's not going to completely convince your family that you're not homosexual. But again, it is proof that you had sexual relations with a female, someone of the opposite sex. So, you know, if this is really bothering you, get a bitch pregnant. Five, purposely get caught having sex with a babe, someone of the opposite sex. whether that's in your car in the parking lot, backyard, in the bathroom, where your family or family member physically sees you having sex with somebody, do that, or maybe a sex tape you accidentally send an email or a text that has dirty images of you with a female engaging consensually, sexually. That's again, it's physical evidence that you're not a homosexual. Was that purposely? Oh, again, number seven, just come out as it's an outrageous homophobe. Just start using the word faggot. Start all these nasty derogatory terms towards homosexual people, the gays. Use those terms, mean-spirited, not in a funny way. And just start being the stereotypical guy that hates homosexuals. So start dip, not even the pouches of tobacco, just the raw tobacco, the huge jaw, do that. Pickup truck with the thing on the back that has the balls dangling. So be the stereotypical, instead of being a stereotypical gay guy, be the stereotypical guy that hates the gays. Do that. Number eight, I have a tribunal. All right, next Thanksgiving or the night before Thanksgiving. Bring every babe that you've ever kissed, gone on a date, smooched, sucked face with, held hands with, whoever, flirted with, have them, offer them beer and turkey, wine, wine coolers, bring them to your house, have a tribunal, have all these women confess to having any type of, some loving relationship with you. Again, it's almost like an intervention against your not being, an intervention for the people accusing you of being a homosexual. That might be difficult to do. Number nine, commit a sexual crime against a female. Now, how can your family accuse you of being gay when there's a public record and you do prison time for committing a sexual crime against a female? There's a physical sentence notarized proving that you are not homosexual. So that's a very, very extreme. And I don't know if you're willing to do 15 to 25 years in prison, but committing sexual assault will prove to your family that you are not homosexual. And lastly, this is my favorite one. It might not be the most extreme measure you can take, but it might be the most effective way of getting your family off your back is deflect, and deflect some more. When your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother come at you and they call you gay and they say you're a cocksucker and that you love to diddle the balls of other men, what you do is, no, my brother's gay. He's the gay one, not me. He's gay, my cousin is gay, and you start accusing other people in your family of being homosexual. And that way, maybe your family will go, maybe it is your brother that's gay. So you take some of that heat that's on yourself, that gay accusation, and you put it on the shoulders of your brother or that annoying cousin you have or your niece or your nephew. You put it on them. So deflect. There seems to be a lot of gay hate going around or accusations going on in your family. Just bullets of gay accusations flying left and right across the dinner table along with the salt shaker. Start throwing out your own accusations. And here's a bonus. This is the last bonus one. Now, I know I have some friends who have been fraternity members when I was younger. And there was this thing. I'm not sure if all the frats do it, but I do know there have been fraternities. They'll take all the guys trying to get into fraternity who are rushing, and they'll put gay porn on the laptop or on the big screen, and they'll have the guys rushing wearing nothing but their boxer briefs. And if you don't get an erection, that proves that you're not heterosexual. So next time you're at Thanksgiving dinner on the big screen TV, put up some gay smut strip down naked and watch it and go, hey, everybody, hey, family, before we say grace, there is gay smut on the big screen. Look at my wiener. It's just flowing in the wind, not even a semi-stiff. That is proof that I am not gay. So there are 11 actions you can take to prove to your family that you love women. So you're welcome. Let's go look at some photos. Upright posture. Okay. Episode 117, segment 2. Please, I'm begging you. I'm on my knees, willing to slob your knob. Share an episode of Verbal Graffiti or a segment or an audio clip with somebody you suspect of being dishonest about their sexuality and or still being in a closet. You suspect of being so, that is. Now, last episode, or maybe it was two episodes ago, I admitted that I am listening to the autobiography of Iceberg Slim, who is a infamous pimp from the 1970s, and it's really making me want to change careers and become a street pimp. Now, I've been doing a lot of reflection, a lot of looking inwards into the B-man, and it is a scary sight in here, in this body, in this mind. Can I be a pimp? Honestly, on the surface, I don't think I can be. The problem is, I blame my sisters, as I do for many things, and my mom. They raised me to respect women. It's very difficult, which I do. I respect all the babes, those that I'm related to, those that I'm not related to. I respect all of you. So it is difficult. It is difficult to be a pimp when you respect females, the babes. Here's the problem. I've never been in a fist fight. And there is times when you are a pimp, or at least I suspect there will be times when you got to get a little rough with your bitches, where you got to backslap them when they don't come back with the money from the tricks they turn on the Johns. And I don't know if I have it in me. Actually, I know I do not have it in me to just backhand one of my bitches and kind of put her in her place and yell at her to get me my money, because I'm the pimp and I need that money, and that is the job. Let's say I'm in my Lincoln, and I learned this last night, that white pimps drive Lincolns, black pimps drive Cadillacs. Now, I have no way of verifying this, but it was brought to my attention, so I'm just going with it. Let's say I'm on the street corner, I'm just hanging out in my Lincoln, watching my street whores try to reel in the Johns, and one of the Johns gets rough with one of my bitches, and then the bitch comes back to my Lincoln. I roll down the window because I ain't going to pay for the button. I have to roll it down, and I see the black eye. My first instinct is going to be to call the police and file a report, which is a major no-no in the world of being a pimp. You do not call the police. If my bitch has a black eye, I call the police. The police come and ask her, hey, who gave you the black eye? And then my bitch says, oh, the John, but he left. John, what's going on? And then the lady goes, oh, well, that's my pimp, and pimp being me. And then the police go, what? Like, you're her pimp? Like, pimping is illegal. And then I get arrested. Like, I out myself because I'm trying to do a good deed. One of my bitches is hurt. I'm trying to, you know, get it back by filing a report. But that's not the way. Like, I need to institute the violence. I have to be the muscle, or at least have someone who can institute the muscle on the Johns who are being seedy with my whores, my hood rats, my bitches, my floozies, all that. So, like, I don't know. Like I don't, violence is not something I've instituted in my life. Any altercation I've had, I've always, up to date, have been able to diffuse people's anger with my sense of humor I don't think, I suspect that humor does not work with the fusing altercations that happen between a pimp, his bitch, and her John. So that's something I have to work on. I need to learn to be violent if I want to be a pimp. And also, I got to admit, I am a jealous guy. Whenever I've been with a babe and I've seen her flirting with another guy, that makes me jealous. In the world of pimp, that is problematic because my bitches flirting with John, like, that is the job. That is the job of a street whore, is to flirt with the Johns so they can reel them in, get the money to turn the tricks and give the money back to me, the pimp. After all, this is a business. I'm thinking about doing career change. So when I'm in my Lincoln, and all day I'm in my Lincoln watching my street whores work the streets and talking with the Johns, like, that's going to make the B-man jealous. So when they come back after turning those tricks, my first point is that we'll get to the money. We will get to the money. But why were you talking to all those Johns? Like, why were you wearing lingerie? Why were you leaning over his driver's seat? Like, what was that all about? Like, if you're doing that, when you know I can see you from my Lincoln, like, what are you doing when I'm not around? Like, I can't trust you. And then she's going to be frustrated with me because, well, I'm a whore. I'm your whore. Like, that's what I need to do to get to John so we get the money so that we can live and, you know, have a nice steak dinner after this. So it's going to be a difficult transition into going from working corporate America into morphing into a street pimp. Also, I don't know if I have the funds to afford a Lincoln vehicle, but I am enjoying the autobiography. I do suggest you listen or read it. It is very well written and it is captivating. Again, his name is Iceberg Slim. I haven't gotten to the point yet where he reveals, or if he does reveal his real name. Okay, but yeah, I romanticize the world of pimpdom. I don't know. I probably shouldn't idolize it or romanticize it, but I do. Same thing with 1970s New York City. This, the way they walk, the way they talk, it's smooth, man, and it jives with me. So I'm going to continue to do some self-reflection, do some work on myself, and maybe one day or one evening, late evening soon, you might see me on the streets. All right, this last post comes from the subreddit Black Ladies. I have finally stopped comparing myself to the women I see on Instagram. Once upon a time, I really used to think my butt wasn't big enough or my hips not wide enough. I don't know if it was discovering that I do not like women or just growing, but I literally do not care about comparing myself to others anymore. God blessed me with natural curves, and I honestly thank him so much. I do not have to go to the gym to build glute muscles or get a BBL. All I have to do is slim down and boom, she's popping more than usual. Instead of comparing my bodies with them and just sulking, I wish I had their determination to continue at the gym because, Lord, I can't spend more than 15 minutes in there! Exclamation point. See, I don't believe anything you typed out right there. I'm going to be very judgmental of you because I get the sense that you wrote this post trying to convince yourself that you love your butt, that you don't like men anymore, and that you don't compare your backside to the backsides that you see on your feed on Instagram. Now, I believe those are all lies. I don't think you've gotten past any of those. I want to address the claim you make that I don't agree with, that you say you no longer like men, sexually interested in men. Now, I've brought this up before, but I do have a theory, And it's a growing theory. And every time I try to think about it, the more I am becoming more of a firm believer that 80% of lesbians are not actually lesbians and do like men sexually. They just cannot get with the men they are sexually attracted to. Therefore, they decide they're going to date women exclusively. That's where you're at. Now, I don't see. We gotta. Or the B man. I'm going to have a conversation with myself to all of you. You can't tell me that you're born gay, which I believe. I believe sexuality-wise, you're born what you're born, unless you're diddle as a kid and that fucks up your mind. But excluding that, this is a humor podcast. You can't tell me you're born with your sexuality and then tell me that, well, you know, I fucked every guy in a 10-mile radius, including, you know, little Jimmy that works at the bodega. He's always behind the counter, and he offers everybody a piece of juicy fruit chewing gum. You remember that guy who walks with the cane with a bit of a limp, but he's got a funny laugh? You fucked him. You fucked him, and you fucked every other guy in your neighborhood, every guy within a 10-mile radius. And then you decided that you're a dyke? How does that work? That doesn't jive together. You can't say you're born with your sexuality, but then you learn through fucking tens and 20s and hundreds of men in your neighborhood and then decide that you're a lesbian. Like, those two, it's, you can't do that. So you are, see, you're claiming to be a dyke, to be a lesbo, to love to go muff diving between the legs of other women, but you're not. You're not. You are still sexually attracted to men. Now, what your sexuality is, you cannot attract the man that you're sexually attracted to. See, if Michael B. Jordan, that stud muffin, or that little pixie stick, Charlemagne, if either of those two gave you the googly eyes, you'd get wet between your legs just thinking about slobbing on their Hollywood Sex Pistols. So there is, like, I just want to make a point of that. You are not a lesbian. You still like men. You just cannot get with the men that you're sexually attracted to. The more I think of that theory, the more I'm convinced that I am right. 80% of you lesbians ain't lesbos. You like men, you just can't get with the men you want. As for you, you're not happy with your butt. You're trying to convince yourself that you are, but it is a mess back there. It is a sight to be unseen back there. It's Dimple City. Any guy or lady that's back there needs to be wearing hiking boots because those dimples are so big and high that if the John isn't wearing hiking boots, he's going to slip. He's going to fall between the crevices, and we're going to have to call the Coast Guard to come get him out. That's how big and disgusting and jiggly your ass is. And it ain't jiggly. You can't slap your ass. It's that. Those cheeks are so wide. It's so circular. So they're shaped so oddly that a hand is, you can't slap it with a hand. That doesn't do it justice. You need an actual, paddle, right? A paddle. Like a kayak paddle that slap those butt cheeks. That's how big it is. And when you slap your butt, it's not a jiggle. It's not even a wiggle. It causes a wave similar to the waves you see on the north shore of Oahu. But unlike those waves on the north side of Oahu, there are no surfers that want to ride your wave that is your asshole, because nobody wants any part of those butt cheeks as I pick my nose. Shame on you for using God's name in vain. This is not a God-given butt cheeks. It is certainly not. You can't tell me your butt cheeks are God-given when you're stuffing yourself with Cool Ranch Doritos. All right, those butt cheeks are empty. Those are made from empty calories and processed food and soft drinks and beer and alcohol. It's not God-given. You gave yourself that, and maybe a little bit to do with genetics as well. So I'm calling bullshit on that. And you're not happy with the size of your or the shape of your butt cheeks because you know what the acronym BBL stands for, which is, Brazilian butt lift. Now, any lady who knows what a BBL is not satisfied with her backside. So I'm calling bullshit on that. And see, this is such an indictment on you and all of you babes. All right. Like you as a lady, like having a hissy fit because all the other ladies you see on social media having a better backside than you do proves that all women are batshit crazy. And it's why the B-man is not critical of the Salem witch trials. Because you were batshit crazy back then, and you're still so today. Because being, like, looking at another woman's ass as a woman, whether it's in person or in social media, and even and having it affect your state of mood and even thinking about having plastic surgery, that's bonkers. That's just empty out the cheese puff jar like you're cuckoo. My ass is pancake. It's hideous. There's a bunch of hair. There's no definition at all. And when I have a very good friend. I won't say his name. I used to see his ass a lot. We played basketball together. He has the best butt I've ever seen a guy have. He probably has a better butt than, I think, 90% of the porn star, the female porn stars today. It's a bubbly butt. It bubbles get jealous out of how bubbly his butt cheeks are. And that has no effect on me and my pancake butt cheeks. I see my friend, and anytime I saw him, I was like, anytime I saw his butt, I was like, good for him. He's got great ass cheeks. Good for him. And whatever babe he ends up being with, he's just fantastic. You have a butt, good butt cheeks. I tip on my penis to you. But at no point did I ever throw a hissy fit or just whine online. Why does she have better butt cheeks than I do? Why is my butt so flat? I need to do some more squats. If only I could go to the gym. If only I could spend more than 15 minutes doing squats. Well, why can't you? Let's get to that. Why can't you spend more than 15 minutes at the gym? Well, what is your manager making you work a double shift at CVS? Like, get to the gym. You want to be those babes who twerk on police cars every Friday night in their thong, showing their cheeks to all the club goers? Get to the gym. Do some squats. Just up, down, up, down, up, down. Do some squats. Do some lunges. Yeah, maybe you won't have a social media BBL butt cheek, but you can get two cheeks that you're proud of. And this is laziness. This is not being truthful with yourself. This is not taking accountability for your own body and your own actions. Get to the gym. Spend more than 15 minutes there. Stop looking at social media. And within 6 months, your ass will be at a size where if a guy tries to get it from behind, you'll actually be able to feel it because your butt won't be so big and dimply. So I don't believe anything you said. And all of it. Let's continue reading A Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. We are now in chapter 5. We're We're right moving along. Top of page 105, we are reading two pages together aloud. "Hello," he said in a soft, pleasant voice. "I'm the doctor's assistant. My name is Garrett. You must be Pamela Burns." Yes, she stammered. "I've heard quite a bit about you." Despite her anxiety, Pamela was struck by the young man's extraordinary good looks and slender body. He looked like a Greek god with his curly hair and sensual features, and a slight tremor of excitement rippled unexpectedly through her. He walked over and sat down beside her on the bed. Have you been with Dr. Carlsberg for long?" he inquired as his eyes roamed subtly over her lush body. "Just a week," she answered. "Remarkable," he said. "According to the doctor, you've made amazing progress. You should be quite pleased." Yes, I am. And Dr. Carlsberg is a wonderful man." The door opened once again, and Carlsberg re-entered with a silver tray on which sat three glasses of wine. "Ah," he said as he entered, "I see the two you've already gotten acquainted. Good." He set the tray down on one of the tables and then distributed the wine, making sure Pamela received the one with the powerful drug in it. They sipped it slowly, and as they did, strange sounds began to fill the room, a steady rhythmic pounding like jungle drums. "What's that?" Pamela asked. "There are speakers hidden in the wall," Carlsberg answered casually, "so that we can have music or sounds. Tell me, what does it sound like to you?" "Drums," she replied quickly. "Those are drum beats." "Not quite," Carlsberg said. "Actually, that's an amplified heartbeat, a human heartbeat, and it's meant to put you more deeply in touch with your body and your heart. Listen to it. Just relax and listen to it." Pamela did as she was told, letting her mind drift into the pulsing sound as she continued to sip the wine. In moments, the drug began to take effect, and the young wife's mind began to drift and float to the sounds of the heartbeat. Her body tingled softly, and she closed her eyes, letting herself become fully absorbed in the delightful liquid feelings that began to envelop her. Garrett and Justin exchanged quick, sly glances in anticipation for what was to follow. Moments later, Pamela sighed deeply, utterly relaxed. Carlsberg had given her such a strong dose of his drug that all the fear and tension were removed quickly. Without a word, he took the half-drunk glass of wine from her hand and set it aside. Go suck a fat one.